I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of The Memo for this Monday, September 19th. Brad Locke here with you, W. Derek Russell over there, Chris Kiefer on the board, as it were.
I think if we splice together every intro you've ever done, you say the exact same thing. I would think the only thing that would change would be the dates.
I try to be consistent.
All right. If I try to get too cute,
I'll mess it up.
It's also the inflection and the level of excitement.
Is this too high?
No, it's always the same. It's dependable. Like, I always know exactly how you're going to sound. You don't ever throw a wrench into it.
Well, that's good. I tend to fall into that radio voice thing when I'm doing stuff like that. Probably do the same thing on Newsbreak, which you can watch at djournal.com for updates on news,
company
sports,
man,
and
to
weather.
The end of the line.
As long as they keep paying me.
As long as nobody makes me mad, yeah.
Yeah, well. But anyway, it's Monday, so I thought I'd wear this bright colored shirt again to make sure everybody's awake.
I'm like a moth. I'm just real drawn to it.
This highlighter green shirt.
Like, I'm willing to die for it.
Wow.
Not really. Well, you know, moths go into the bug zapper and
die. Right. Oh, yeah. I see.
I feel like if I get too close to it, I'm going to die. That's what I'm saying.
Killed by a $12 shirt.
Yes.
Got it on sale.
$12?
Got it on sale.
You would think something that would offend so many senses would cost more money than that.
Got it at Aeropostale on sale.
Aeropostale.
Or however you say it.
I call it bankrupt is what I call it.
Is it? Yeah, maybe that's why it was so cheap.
They gone.
It's a good shirt.
Okay. What did you do last night?
What did I do last night? What did I do last night? Let me backtrack because I had trouble remembering. I don't think I did much of anything, to be honest.
There's been a lot of poor choices in between then and now.
No, I had lunch. We had lunch at the preacher's house. That was fun.
Ah,
yes, preacher's wife cooked.
Did they condemn you?
It was delicious. No,
heard you rode a hoverboard.
So I
those
did.
Aren't hoverboards? Well, though. I quoted. That's not what they're. That's
what are they officially called? Are they called hoverboards? They have wheels. To me, they're just Segways without the handles to hold on to. So.
They're called self-balancing scooters.
That's not catchy at all.
Well, that's...
Dad. I want a self-balancing scooter for Christmas.
I want a self-balancing scooter. Yeah, nerd.
Hey, can I take out my self-balancing scooter for a ride, Dad? Hey, let's go hang out with my... We're going to hang out with my pals. We're going to ride our self-riding... So, what are they? I can't even remember what they're called now. Self-balancing scooters around the neighborhood. Cause trouble. Yeah, so I rode it around their house. Didn't fall off. A little shaky on the dismount, but
you survived.
I did. And the thing is that our pastor's wife actually broke her elbow.
She's riding, calling you right now.
No, that's one of my kids calling from school.
You might want to get that.
Nah, they'll be fine. One of my pastors.
Dad, I fell and broke my arm on a self-balancing scooter, but you won't answer the phone.
Yeah, so my pastor's wife has made the mistake of riding it and broke her elbow a few months ago.
Oh,
so
that's a shame.
She was kind of nervous when I jumped on it yesterday.
Yeah, I would have thrown that thing away.
It was fine.
Yeah. So, did it not balance?
It was non-balanced.
I didn't go too fast. Try not to go too fast. So I did that.
Yeah.
Went home.
Sure.
Had some kids over to swim with my kids. Some of their friends came over. I remember drinking beer at one point.
And that's the last thing I remember.
And here I am. Somehow I got dressed. Oh, I see you dressed yourself.
There was a tiger involved.
Hung out with the family. That's about it.
I watched the Emmys. I watched my peer for a little bit.
And saw some tweets about them.
Watched the end.
I didn't know those were on until I saw something on Twitter.
Yep. That's
Game of Thrones one stuff. I'm surprised.
Game of Thrones.
I've never seen that show.
I watched one episode.
I don't have HBO anymore, so.
I do. I got it for free.
I had it for a while, then I changed my plan.
Thanks, neighbors. I'm just kidding. No. When I moved, Comcast said, would you like HBO free for a year? And I was like, yeah.
I guess that's what happened. I don't know. We had it for a while, and now it's gone after I upgraded my plan. Although I upgraded the internet plan. Yeah. But I guess I must have done something with the TV plan. It's all confusing. All I know is I think I'm supposed to be paying less than I was.
Well, Game of Thrones.
Especially when you move. That's when you get all the specials.
Game of Thrones and the People versus O.J. Simpson swept most of
it. I caught the People versus O.J. Here and there. I want to go back and watch it.
I have not had a chance to watch it. I did, about a week ago, watch all of Made in America, the ESPN 30 for 30. OJ Made in America.
Oh, yeah.
It's 5 episodes, 2 hours each. It was very intense.
Good?
Was it good?
Yeah, it was really good. I need to see it. Okay. It was, some of it was very difficult to watch. I would say the 4th episode or the however many hours that is into it.
Where can you find that at?
Hulu's got it right now, but I'm sure ESPN.com has it as well.
They had a new, I saw a new 30 for 30. Well, it wasn't new to me. Maybe it's been out for a bit. On the Pete Carroll years under USC, yeah. I was watching that a little bit the other night. It was interesting.
I don't know if it's this is actually, come to think of it, is it technically a 30 for 30? It is an ESPN documentary, yeah, right. But I don't think it falls under that category. But, man, there's some crazy stuff with that. Like, all this footage that had never been shown before. Like, there's footage of OJ and Nicole from the night of the murder, like at their daughter's like dance recital earlier that evening. Like, it's just a bunch of crazy stuff.
But, I actually remember now, I did watch some of one of the early episodes of his time at USC, but I don't.
Yeah,
I didn't get to watch the whole thing.
It takes a while to get to the actual what they were going for, and then obviously the last couple hours is about Vegas and his actual arrest there and what incarcerated him. But
was there a lot of new information, much new information that kind of, I don't know, that's really a mystery, but that really
I would say I'm more convinced than ever he did it after watching that. Like, if I ever
as if
needed,
we needed more convincing.
Yeah, right. But like after, like, that was a big... I think we've talked about this on the show before. I don't know, but, like, I remember...
We have.
I don't know why that came up, but, like...
I was in high school.
Remember?
When it happened in 94, didn't it, or 93?
The
trial was 95.
Right? Yeah, right. Because
the murder, I think, was 94.
The fall of 95, or spring, I don't remember.
It happened in the spring, because remember, we were watching the Bulls play in the finals. So it happened in the spring, early summer.
I think the murder. I think it was June of 94. And I've got that date is there was a 30 for 30 with the date. I think the 30 for 30 is like June 17th,
94. Yeah.
And it's like a whole bunch of, it's like the whole night, and it follows the NBA finals were that night.
Yeah,
and
there
a bunch
actually
of stuff
is a 30 for 30 just about
that
specific
night, and how they broke in and did the coverage. And
I remember that. Yeah, I was watching the game and that happened, and it's crazy. Like, I want to watch the game, but I want to watch this too. You know, and that was back when, you know, I didn't have cable, and I actually think I was maybe in someone else's house. I forget, but
I remember the chase. TV. But I remember being in fifth grade, and they wheeled the TV in the room for us to watch the verdict. And I remember going, "This is not a good idea.
Yeah,
we should be doing this." At fifth grade, I was like, "Really? We're gonna watch this?"
I remember following it a lot.
It's a murder. We're fifth graders.
About the same age, I have a weird memory of being, I don't know why I was so into it, but being at my brother and sister were at swimming lessons, and I'd already done my swimming lessons, so I was just standing outside the pool with the little handheld radio listening to the OJ trial while I was waiting for them to finish their
newsman
lessons.
Newsman to the end.
That was enough.
What are they telling us, boss? What are they saying?
We were gathered around a TV in my college dorm Clark said today. When they read the verdict.
Yeah. You're so old.
This wasn't even the verdict. This was just a normal run of the day of the trial, like day 25. I don't know why I was listening.
I remember
to
the 12-year-old
Chris Seaver. Give me the stats. What do they say?
I remember the blanket coverage of that trial. It was insane. It got so old.
Yeah, it did.
I got sick of it.
You got sick of it. The jurors.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Living in a hotel for.
Yeah, I mean, looking back, and since it's fresher,
months?
I was going to ask how long. How long was it?
You know, I just watched that whole thing, and I should be able to answer all that. 8 months.
Jeez.
8 months. Opening arguments in January. The verdict was in October.
That is ridiculous.
So this would have been that summer, you know, so they've been right in just the middle of the trial when I was listening to it, like June or July.
What are you doing, Chris? Watch the clock. Keep yelling at everybody.
You never guess what Robert Shapiro said today.
Judge Ito is angry.
Remember the dancing Itos? Was that a Leno
SNL
thing?
Kato Kaelin testifying. Shh.
Chris's parents are looking at each other like, I think it's time for therapy. It's time we put him in.
So Cato Kaelin is like on Twitter, and occasionally I'll see somebody retweet something he says.
Why would you be on there?
He's I don't know how to describe him, but just based on some of his Twitter comments.
Like, it's so funny he lived at the guest house because he literally is the guest house of celebrities. Like, that's the best way to describe
him. I don't know what he does now.
Nothing. David Spade's Cato Kaelin is still one of the best things ever.
God, I haven't seen that in forever. Now that you mention it, I'd forgotten all
about that. SNL during that time was fantastic.
Oh, it was. The cast was great. And yeah, then
those
like,
the glory years.
They cleaned house for some stupid reason. And still brought in some good people, but... yeah, I love the days of Farley and Sandler and Spade and Hartman and all those folks. But anyway.
Good talk.
What we got on the show today, Derek?
Caleb Bedillion will be joining us, yes, as well as Bobby Harrison.
Bobby Harrison Jackson. From Jackson.
So
we'll talk about sales tax growth and, well, basically just we're talking about economy in general.
Yeah.
Yay.
Economics.
Voodoo economics.
Economics. Anyone?
Bueller. Locke.
Russell.
Bedillion.
All right. So we got all that coming up.
Yeah.
Be good times.
And more. On this episode of The Memo. Up first, Caleb Bedillion is joining us. Is this voodoo economics? Is this what we're discussing?
Absolutely. No, that is 100% right.
Bueller.
Voodoo economics.
Bueller. If it is, I'll be drooling on the desk over here as you talk about it, because I'll fall asleep if it's that. Yes, we do need Ben Stein on the show at some point. The city of Tupelo has collected more than $20 million in sales tax revenue in the past fiscal year. How is this possible, Caleb?
Well, Derek, when people buy things, the retailer charges the customer sales tax, which then gets sent to the state, which takes its cut and then returns the city's share back to the city. This accrues over the course of the fiscal year, and that accrual has now reached about $20.1 million.
Caleb, thanks for joining us today. That is awesome information.
Did you not take economics in high school?
Yeah, I did. As Homer Simpson would explain it, money can be traded for goods and services.
So to get back on track. Yes, this is, sir, a record. The city has never collected more than $20 million or even as much as $20 million in a single fiscal year before. And there are still, the fiscal year ends September 30th, but collections lag the actual calendar date. So these most recent check the city got from the state was for the month of July. So we've got two more months of retail activity. The retail activity that occurred in August and September have still yet to be received by the city. So we should end up a little bit above 20. Last year was a previous record high. The city had collected $18.7 million during that fiscal year. So, I mean, if you look at the history, the city has pretty consistently gone up every year. But, I mean, this a $2 million jump is pretty good. The year before that, it had been $18.2 million, and before that, $17.8. So we've been seeing increases, but pretty small. This one's a little more dramatic.
Caleb, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and correct me if I'm wrong, but to me, that would mean people are spending more money.
It would appear that way.
Good.
Increased retail activity within the city limits of Tupelo.
We love people spending money within the city limits of Tupelo, whether traveling or here at all times.
Yeah.
Certainly Mayor Jason Shelton is excited to see these numbers and has praised the efforts of local entrepreneurs and businesses to help make the city economy stronger.
And that's what we're here on The Memo today to do. We are going to be opening a betting pool. You can find out, you for a dollar for a raffle ticket, you can get a chance to win if you can guess the correct amount that the sales tax will be at by the end of the fiscal year.
I'm going to go with 23.3,
Caleb.
I'm going to just maintain my neutrality here, because if I have money riding on the outcome, then my reporting might, you know, come into question. So I'm just going to maintain a neutral observer
stance.
Chris,
what about you? You going to pull a Price is Right and go like $1 over Brad's? You jerk. Go lower. Go lower. Caleb, we appreciate this information. Thank you for coming on today.
Sure thing, Derek. Glad to be here.
Don't forget you can wake up and get ready for your day with the Daily Journal's News Break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi has to offer in a 5-minute video. Shows will be posted every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. You can watch them for free at any time on djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. Also, we project them on the side of Bradlock's house. Stay informed on the latest happenings in your community in an easily digestible format.
Time now for today's news memo. For more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. Two committees that were formed to study ways to increase community engagement in Tupelo will make presentations to the City Council this week. One committee has studied the city's neighborhood coordinator position. Another was tasked with examining a new position of community outreach coordinator. They are among the six committees that were recently convened by Tupelo Mayor Jason Shelton. The two committees will present their findings to City Council members during a work session today. They have each worked on updating job descriptions for those two positions.
Mississippi officials say they only have enough federal money to subsidize after-school programs for a quarter of the students they originally projected to serve. The Mississippi Department of Education said on Friday that because employees mishandled grant money earlier, the state will only be able to spend $5.6 million of the state's $14.6 million allotment for after-school programs. The other $9 million will go to reimburse school districts and nonprofit groups for costs they incurred earlier after employees awarded too many grants. That means the programs will only reach 7,000 students in 28 school districts. It was originally projected to reach 29,000 students in 67 school districts. Mississippi officials decided to use the reduced amount of money to meet commitments to programs in the fourth and fifth years of the five-year grants. Programs in the second and third years of their grants will get no money.
Pat Raspberry, who spent 3 decades putting Tupelo in the spotlight, died on Friday morning. Raspberry was the force behind the Tupelo Film Commission and created opportunities for making films in Northeast Mississippi and encouraging homegrown filmmakers. She founded the Tupelo Film Festival and the Mississippi High School Film Competition. Raspberry also sang and played in a number of local bands, including the Hoodats and the Broadbeats. She was among the first crew of volunteers when the Tupelo Lee Humane Society was founded. Raspberry died at Sanctuary Hospice House after a long battle with cancer. Memorials may be sent to the Tupelo Film Commission, care of the CREATE Foundation.
The University of Southern Mississippi is cutting tuition for students from outside the state in a bid to boost enrollment and revenue. Mississippi's College Board voted on Thursday to approve USM's plans to cut non-resident tuition and fees from $16,529 to $9,964 starting in the fall of 2017. In-state residents are scheduled to pay $7,963 for the same 2 semesters of full-time classes starting then. Facing a flat number of high school graduates in the state, Mississippi universities are trying to attract students from elsewhere. Alcorn State, Delta State, and Mississippi Valley State have dropped surcharges on non-residents, charging them the same as Mississippi residents.
A variety of special events are planned as the Natchez Trace Parkway celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. A photo exhibit will showcase national parks with Hispanic connections, and a group will demonstrate what it was like when Hernando de Soto moved through the area in 1540 and 41. Both free events will be at the Natchez Trace Parkway Visitor Center at Milepost 266 near Tupelo. The photo exhibit will be on display until October 15th. Mississippi Valley Educational Programs will set up an encampment on Saturday, September 24th from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. to give visitors insight into DeSoto's trek. DeSoto and his men were the first Europeans to have contact with the Chickasaws and other Native American tribes. Also on that Saturday, members of the Tom Bigby Pioneer Group will demonstrate pioneer crafts from the 1700s and 1800s. For more information about Natchez Trace Parkway events, call 1-800-305-7417 or visit nps.gov/NATR. Hey, be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. You can watch live on Monday afternoons about 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. Let's go down to Jackson and welcome in Bobby Harrison, Capitol Bureau Chief for the Journal. How you doing, Bobby?
Hey, Brad. How you doing?
Doing well, sir. We're going to talk economy. We talked at, about the local economy here with Caleb Bedillion. Now we're going to talk about the state economy. I'm no economic guru by any means, Bobby. So
me neither.
may have to help me out here, but
I believe it's economics, Brad.
Economic. Yeah. Either way,
we try to help all we can though by spending more money than we got.
I know I do. Yeah. He had a story in Sunday's paper about the state's revenue growth. It's slowing down. There's a study by the Pew Charitable Trust released earlier this month, looking at all 50 states' revenue. And according to this report, overall, the states took in 6.5% more when adjusted for inflation at the end of the calendar year 2015 than they did in the third quarter of 2008. We're talking about, you know, since the Great Recession, how much that's grown. And Mississippi, when adjusted for inflation, it's at 2.7%, which, I, you know, I guess, Bobby, that's growth, but it's on the low end, isn't it?
Yeah. But Pew is well respected for their research and just their polls and everything. So Pew is a well respected group, and what they were looking at to see how states have rebounded, state revenue has rebounded since the Great Recession, you know, which was in 2008 and 2009. And because a lot of states, including Mississippi, actually their revenue went, they lost revenue during during the Great Recession. And as you said, the study showed that overall, when adjusted for inflation, the revenue growth was over 6% for all 50 states. There were some states, though, that had actually not recovered from the Great Recession, and those states were mainly oil-producing states or states that had large tax cuts, like Kansas and Louisiana.
Yeah, Louisiana.
And Louisiana is doubly impacted because they not only have large tax cuts, but they also have their oil-producing state that's been hurt by the drop in oil prices. And Mississippi was on the low end, but it had increased. But Mississippi was one of, I think, eight states where revenue had increased. Well, actually, in the last quarter of 2015, they had gone the other way. Revenue had decreased. And as you recall, Mississippi... Pew was looking at the calendar year for the fiscal year, from which runs from July 1st to June 30th. For the last budget for that last year, Mississippi actually took in less revenue than it did the prior year, which is very unusual. I mean, you know, starting off the first 2 months of the current year, they're on the same trend of less revenue than the previous year during the same time period. You know, and this is kind of significant for one thing because a lot of budget cuts are going on right now, and it's beginning to have an impact. And Tate Reeves, Lieutenant Governor, and when asked the tax cuts that Mississippi has passed over the past 5 years were beginning to impact revenue, he has maintained that it's one, most states are having the same problem. This Pew study kind of contradicts that, and he also says it's kind of a sort of just returning to normal for Mississippi. The first couple of years after the recession, the state had pretty sizable revenue growth, more than 5%, and now it was kind of leveling off and returning to the average growth of Mississippi, which Mississippi is a poor state and has never, except in unusual circumstances, had large year-over-year growth in most instances. So so he says just kind of returning to the, I forgot what he refers to as some economic term, but what it means is returning to the average growth, and when they had to go backwards to get to that average, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So they call that returning to the mean?
Something like that.
Well, again, math is not my strong suit. But you look at the border states, you mentioned Louisiana, they saw a dip of 20.9% after those tax cuts and the price of gasoline dropping. And Alabama declined of 5.3%. But then you look at Tennessee and Arkansas, they both had really good gains of 9%. So, Bobby, I mean, it's obviously not just – it's not really a regional thing. It's a – you know, again, Mississippi may be impacted somewhat by the gasoline prices, but...
to a lesser extent than, you know, the big states like Louisiana or Montana. I mean, not Montana. I think it's North Dakota and Alaska that really are... their revenue's kind of built totally around oil production.
Yeah, but does this report kind of try to identify what the problems are, or they just put the numbers out there?
Well, they put the numbers out there, but they talked about, you know, the oil producing states and also tax cuts. But it is, you said it wasn't a regional problem, but Brad, I mean, and I don't have the map here in front of me, but you go to that website and look at the map. A lot of the states that did experience declines or not growing as fast are states in the South. I was surprised to see states like Georgia, Florida was in that list. It was not growing as fast as some other states, and that's kind of surprising to me. You think of those as sort of states that kind of on the uptick, but according to the Pew study, that's not the case. South Carolina was another state that was struggling a little bit.
Yeah, and you mentioned the story that the Democrats are very much a minority in Mississippi right now, with the Republicans having the supermajority there in the legislature. But maybe this provides an opening for them to, with the economy struggling like it is in Mississippi and the tax cuts and dipping into the rainy day fund, and you've got an election coming up. I mean, in a few years, it's still a few years away, but, Jim Hood is a pretty good-looking candidate for the Democrats, so maybe they see a chance to make some gains in the next election.
Well, I mean, I think that's what they're hoping. They look at Louisiana. Louisiana in a lot of ways is a lot like Mississippi, and it's a Republican dominated. But they did elect a Democratic governor back in 2015. They have their elections, their off-year elections, like Mississippi's are.
Yeah.
And they elected a Democratic governor, and they're hoping the same. Mississippi is looking at that and saying, maybe we can do that too. Democrats are, so we'll see.
All right. Well, maybe things will get better. We certainly hope so. But a good story there from Bobby. You can find it in Sunday's Journal and at djournal.com as well. Bobby, appreciate your time.
All right. Appreciate it, Brad.
Hey, be sure to check out the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with me and Gene Phillips and Blake Morgan, or some combination thereof. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can watch the webcast live around 11 a.m. at djournal.com. And then the podcast version drops later that afternoon. Listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. And Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, check out the Double Coverage podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday afternoon in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and the Rebels. Listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. Rebels and Bulldogs coming off a couple of tough losses, by the way, Derek. You watch those games? I watched the Bama Ole Miss game.
Alabama game.
As soon as they had that touchdown before
the
half.
Game. I'm not laughing at either side, but that was
it was insane. It was the best game of the year so far.
It's been a long time since I've laughed that hard at an SEC football game.
You're like, really, now this happened? As I just kept getting crazier.
It was just a comedy of errors just every time. I mean, from the calls that were being made, it was just over.
And apparently I went
But when one of them would run for it, everybody chased after it, just they give up. Like the opposing team, anytime they were chasing after whoever was running into the end zone, they would just stop. Like right after, like right around the 30, they were just like,
And apparently Ole Miss, I think most of this happened when I took like 30 minutes to go make a beer run. So I'm listening to it on the radio, and suddenly like Ole Miss has like three touchdowns reversed or they thought were touchdowns on replay. And like so many plays kept going under review. I think Paul Jones of 24/7 Sports tweeted at one point, the rest of this game will be played under review.
basically. Well, after halftime before it was just, Ole Miss played like Ole Miss always does in the first half of the game. They played really strongly and then not so much, but it was kind of back and forth. But the third and fourth quarter was really where that game was played, and it was hilarious
insane
to watch.
I mean, as soon as they had that, I think it was a punt return for touchdown, Alabama right before the half, I was like, oh, this is going to be FSU all over again.
Yeah.
Well, and then and Alabama, who was it that caught, I don't remember who it was, jumped an Ole Miss player, caught it, landed right outside the zone. They gave him a touchdown. They were up to 40. Wow. And then they took the point. They took it away because they went back, replayed it, and he was right outside the line.
Jeez.
But then they ended up being right there at the 5 anyway, so it still made
The
fight.
Yeah.
And then Ole Miss scored. Then they got an onside kick.
Yeah.
And I mean, they made it, which is exactly what happened with State. They scored late, and then got an onside kick.
The ending of both games was really similar.
Scored again.
Yeah.
They got a stop. LSU punted, so they had the ball back with a chance to win after being down 20 at halftime.
What was really funny to watch, so I'm not making fun of Ole Miss at all, it was just funny that there was still 5 minutes left in that game for anything to happen, and even at the 5 minute mark, Ole Miss made that last touchdown, and they just threw it. They were just like, all right, we made a touchdown. Now, there was no celebrating. There was nothing to be happy about. Either they were really determined in that last 5 minutes, or they had already given up at that point.
It was insane.
Yeah,
it was
good times.
Oh, college football! Ole Miss has this tough opening month of football. I mean, they opened with Florida State, which at the time was ranked fourth in the country. Mm-hmm. They were ranked number two until they got burned to the ground by Louisville the other day. Then they lose to number one Alabama, and then they beat Wofford, which they're supposed to. And now they got Georgia, undefeated Georgia coming in, another tough game, which I think Ole Miss will win. Georgia hadn't really impressed me that much yet.
Who ended up winning the Georgia-Missouri game?
Georgia won by a point. Okay, they beat Missouri by a point, if that tells you anything. Yeah. Missouri's not good. Yeah. I think Ole Miss will come out of this month with a 2-2 record, which is about – I mean, they obviously would have loved to have gotten one of those big wins against FSU or Alabama, but that would have kept their national championship hopes alive if that was actually a real thing.
Mississippi State's got the Minutemen this weekend.
Massachusetts is going to play in Gillette Stadium, home of the Patriots.
On ESPN3.
Wow. On the road against UMass.
The Ocho.
ESPN. Why did they schedule that game? Well,
I don't.
After playing South Carolina and LSU back-to-back weeks, I guess you need a bit of a break.
We didn't really talk last week about the Egg Bowl going back.
Oh, yeah, it's going back to Thanksgiving. That's stupid.
I have fond memories of it being on Thanksgiving.
I know, it's fine. It's just from a journalist or sports writer's perspective.
Oh, yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Well, I don't worry about that.
Well, I don't either anymore, although I do have to be by my computer that night to make sure stories and photos get posted.
That's when you're not by your computer.
That's true.
Caused a lot of awkward family dinner, some indigestion and whatnot, I guess. I mean,
I never had to cover one on Thanksgiving because I was state beat writer from 2008 until the beginning of the 2013 season, and that's when it went back to Thanksgiving for 1 year. It was in 2013, but I don't think it was on Thanksgiving.
But
it was 98 to
03. It's still set for Saturday this season. It's next.
Saturday for this year. Yeah, next year. It's on Thanksgiving.
I was gonna say I'll be in Los Angeles. I won't care, but
you'll be in Los Angeles.
I'll be in Los Angeles.
You make plans way ahead of time, don't you?
Vacation? Yes, I make. I take off.
So every year. What are you gonna do in LA next Thanksgiving?
That's talking about this Thanksgiving.
Oh, this Thanksgiving. I thought you were talking about next Thanksgiving.
That's what
you're gonna ask. No, it's not that far in advance.
Okay. So I'm sure you'll have a full report of what happens in LA when you get back.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
Hey, you're going to LA. It's got to be some kind of good time out there.
You never know.
I've never been to LA. I don't think. Well, I went to Disneyland. Is that
Disneyland? Is in Anaheim, which is LA.
Basically, LA. Well, I was four. I don't remember much about LA itself. I just remember Disney because we stayed on the grounds, I believe. So, anyway, I remember the flight there, and I remember meeting Mickey Mouse, and I remember being terrified of Pluto. That's about it.
I'm gonna have to break something to you at a very old age, Brad. That was not Mickey Mouse nor Pluto. That was just a guy in a suit.
What?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So anyway, Derek, that's it for the show.
You know what? The bombing suspect from New York this weekend has been shot.
Whoa.
And has been taken into custody.
Well, on a much lighter note there.
Yeah.
Jeez. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Good that he got shot, because I don't feel sorry for bombing suspects.
Yeah. Whoa.
Hey. You're going to go try to bomb people, you get what's coming to you. I'm just saying.
Let's leave it up to the courts to decide. Let's trust the
court of public opinion. It's already decided.
System or something.
Anyway, so on that note, I guess we'll say goodbye. Hey, find us in iTunes if you want to listen to us, although you're listening right now.
Yeah, how about that?
You're probably already listening in iTunes.
So why should on the website?
Why should we? Why should we tell you how to listen to us if you're already listening?
I kind of wonder that anyway. I'm always going to wonder that.
You got to change the paradigm, Brad.
Change the paradigm.
Step away from the box.
If you're currently listening to us at memo.djournal.com and would rather listen to us on your phone in a more convenient format, look for us in iTunes.
Or your podcast app if you don't have an iPhone.
Yeah.
For some kind of weirdo.
If you're not listening to us,
then how are you hearing this?
Why?
Yeah, that's the question. Find us on Twitter at...
If you are listening to us...
Why? you have much better things to be doing with your time, I'm sure. At DJournal Memo on Twitter. I'm at Brad Locke.
Sell it, Brad. Just sell it.
Company man over here.
Toeing the line.
At W. Derek Russell, at Chris Kiefer. And that's it.
Did pointing help? Did that make it more? Did you figure it out more? Because I know you get us confused so often.
It helped him.
Look so much alike.
Why didn't he keep the beard?
That's what I was about to say.
Let's talk about this for a minute.
I came up here yesterday for a little bit to do some work. Chris is here. He's got some nice weekend stubble going on. I'm like, keep the beard.
He looks like a man.
Grow the beard.
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you don't not look like a man right now, but...
But he would have a fantastic beard, you can tell.
But let's face it, you look 12.
Maybe that's what I'm going for. Maybe not.
But you looked, I mean, I don't know, he looked like you could have gotten in a bar fight or something with the beard.
He could probably grow a full beard in about 3 days.
I mean,
it's thick right here.
It's good to go, yeah.
As thick as mine. Yeah. But
I mean, how far in between that? So that was Sunday. When's the last time you shaved? Friday morning?
Friday morning.
Yeah, that's jeez. Nice. That's like me.
It grows faster than mine. Yeah. It grows pretty fast.
Yeah, that's like me.
So he told me he might wait till it gets colder.
When
I think it's
cold, I'll do it.
I'm sure he won't.
Maybe we could work this in with the end of the fiscal year contest and somehow.
Is there a contest?
Yeah, so remember, everybody buys a rifle ticket and we guess how much.
About the economy?
Yeah, yeah.
Tupelo revenue?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Should make a rule that you can't be in this room unless you have a beard.
Oh.
Which will make it kind of awkward when Emma and Lauren have to
co-host. Kind of say,
Maggie sat here a lot, so that would be, that would be odd.
Could have a fake beard handy for him to wear.
Yeah, yeah. What? He told me before you came in that he used to have a goatee, and I was like, I can't imagine you with a goatee. You would have looked like evil Chris Giefer from a parallel universe.
Evil Chris
has replaced Chris.
I look back at all the years I wore a goatee, and I wonder to myself why.
I used to do it.
I did.
I think I was wearing one when I started here.
I did it for a long time. There's an old picture of you. Every time I go to put your column mug in the with your column, you know, I'll go into the media library and the website, and this old picture, I type in Derek Russell, and this old picture of you, I think, with a goatee pops up, I want to say.
It might have been
from when you were with the Link Center.
I was here.
Yes, before you were here.
Probably my mug from when they quoted me from Link Center. I did notice in Friday's paper, my column had my name, Derrick. So that was nice.
Really? I didn't notice that. I got it right online.
Well, I'm sure you didn't pull from whoever typed it.
No, it's already in the library correctly. We should probably go now.
All right.
We're just rambling about beards and stuff. Which I could talk about
Chris
beards
needs to
all
grow
day.
One. That's all I'm saying. I think it needs to happen.
We need to start a campaign on Twitter. You need to come up with a catchy hashtag.
Kiefer beard.
We'll think of something.
Kiefer hair.
We'll take suggestions at memo@journalink.com.
Sure, or you can tweet us at the Journal Memo.
Chris Kiefer beard Chris campaign.
Beard.
I don't know.
I'll think of something clever.
We'll think of something. Yeah. We'll be back on Wednesday. We'll
regroup. We'll think tank this and come back in on Wednesday.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Don't shave between now and Wednesday. It'll help.
Too hot.
Stimulate them.
Yeah, it's not too hot. The beard is fine.
You just get used to it. I told him, I said, this doesn't even bother me anymore. It's this.
Oh, you're
up top. That's what gets annoying to shave.
Oh, I bet. Oh, yeah.
Frequently. Somebody really wants to talk to you, Brad.
Sure do. That's just Twitter.
Well, let's leave so you can talk to Twitter.
Okay. All right. Y'all have a great Monday.
You have a fantastic Monday.
Okay.
You have a better Monday.
You have a better Monday,
Derek.
You
have an even greater Monday.
I hope you have the best Monday in history.
I hope Monday smashes you in the face. It's so good.
All right. Bye.